Good morning, and welcome to First Christian Church. Today, glory to God in the church, glory to God in Christ Jesus, and glory to God in all generations, forever and ever. Let us prepare our hearts and minds for worship as we listen to our prelude music. Thank you, Arlen, and thank you, Willow. Again, good morning. We have a few announcements today. The calendar is in the bulletin there. Of note, the office is closed for President's Day tomorrow. Next week, we'll have a fun Sunday with Scout Sunday. There's information in there about that, as well as our noisy offering for a week of compassion. The quilt raffle continues, so please talk to Cindy Huckfeldt if you have any questions. I'm personally finding success with the quilt raffle in that I buy tickets for $1 out here, and then I sell them for $2 at the office. And so it's a little profitable endeavor. There's some information about the preschool in the bulletin, information both about registration, so if you know anyone that's looking for preschool for their kiddos, as well as then their fundraiser that they have coming up, and there's some information about requests for baked goods, silent auction on things. So if that interests you, please check that out. Wednesday night Lenten services will begin on March 6th, and there's a sign-up sheet out on the bulletin board to help out with the soup suppers that we do. There's different jobs, whether it's preparing soup or helping out in the kitchen in those evenings. So if that's of interest to you, there's another sign-up sheet, this one downstairs in the kitchen, looking for volunteers to help out with coffee time with the fellowship hour after, I shouldn't call it an hour, it's not that big of an obligation, but fellowship time after church. So if that's of interest, we're also looking maybe for someone to help step up and maybe be a coordinator for that. And then that'll shut off the announcements about signups maybe for each week, and someone can do that. So the other announcement, I think this announcement written up here about a car trunk being open, I don't think it's still open from last week, so we're good there. As well as, so the last announcement I have written down up here, anonymous, secret, announcement that today is Melanie Dowler's birthday. That's a secret? Well, it's out now. Oh, wow. The Winder's 50th wedding anniversary. Wow. Congratulations to both of you on that. Patience from Kathy and survival from Larry, or all right. Well, let's wish Melanie a happy birthday, happy anniversary to Winders as we stand and greet one another in Christian fellowship, which we'll come back afterwards and sing our opening hymn, number 226, He Lives. Would you please join with me in the call to worship? God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble.
Therefore, we will not fear,
though the earth should change
Enlarge our hearts as we offer our prayers, that we may share our treasure with those in our world who are dealing with tumult and disaster and injustice.
We will not be discouraged.
We shall remember that God's steadfast love is always with us and the whole world.
God's compassion is for each and all.
We will celebrate God's loving compassion, which can do far more than we can ever ask or imagine.
We may join our imaginations to God's imagining as we live in hope.
Please pray with me. God of blessings and of woes, bless us this day with lives filled with love, caring, generosity, and deep abiding hope. We pray that your kingdom will dwell among all people, and that we may be instruments of your love and your grace. Open our hearts with the joy of healing a world filled with brokenness and pain. We pray in the name of the one who taught us the ways of light and love. We ask that you be in our worship today and in our very lives every day. Hear us together this morning as we pray the prayer your Son taught us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our sins, as we forgive those who sin against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen.
You may be seated, and I invite the children to come forward for a time of sharing this morning. We're going to stay standing today instead of sitting down because the congregation is going to help us sing, and we're going to do motions. They might do them along. We're going to sing a song called He's Got the Whole World in His Hands. And the song is about how God has the whole world in His hands. So we're going to put our arms up high and try to make as big a circle as you can to represent the world. When we sing, He's Got the Whole World, and then we're going to hold our hands up in His hands. And I'm counting on the adults to sing today, because I know some of you know this song. So let's try it. We'll do the motions, and you all sing nice and loud, okay? That was so good, we're going to try a verse. We're going to sing, He's got you and me, brother, because all men are brothers in Christ. And I want you to politely point to someone who is your brother in Christ. We're going to sing, He's got you and me, brother, in His hands. And then we're going to point to a woman, and we're going to say, He's got you and me, sister, in His hands. He's got everybody in His hands. So you all get to pick out a man you want to point at. If Mackenzie wants to point at her daddy, she can do that. Mr. Paul over there, grandpa out there. So we're going to sing, He's got you and me, brother, in His hands, you and me, sister, in His hands, everybody in His hands. Let's try that. Are you ready?
The whole world.
will hold hands. Oh God, we thank you for holding the whole world in your hands. We thank you for holding everyone in your hands and in your heart. Lord, thank you for placing the world in our hands that we might take care of it for you. Bless all of your children. And all God's children said, amen. As our children follow Maggie to worship and wonder, I invite you to look at the back of your bulletin. Our prayer concerns are listed there. And as we share these, I encourage you to take a prayer card from the pew rack in front of you. Write a note to someone who needs to know we're praying for them in worship today, and then place that card in the offering tray later in the service. Our card shower this morning is for Debbie Mestis. She had knee replacement surgery this week, and she is at Elkhorn for recovery. Prayers of sympathy for George Morrison, whose mother Joyce passed away this week. Prayers also for his sister Kathy, who has been her faithful companion and caregiver for many years. Alan McKenzie is recovering from significant heart surgery. He had a quadruple bypass, followed by a pacemaker. Alan is out of ICU. He's at Wyoming Medical Center and on the road to recovery, but still needs prayers for healing. We want to pray for Winnie Allen. She's going to be 103 this year. And for some reason, the time has come for Winnie to no longer live in her own home. I'm not sure that I'll be living in my own house when I'm 100. Prayers of peace and comfort for Winnie as she makes decisions about where to live next. Prayers for her daughter, Linda, in this time of transition. Right now, she's visiting family up in Buffalo. The missionary we're praying for today is Danielle Lee, who serves in Korea. And we pray for the Week of Compassion's work around the world with people in need. Our regional prayer partners are the members of First Christian Church in Monta Vista, Colorado. There's a sheet at the back of the sanctuary you can sign and send greetings to them. Prayers also this morning for those who are under the weather. Tom Dowler has been battling the flu. Robin Nelson has not been feeling well. Prayers of healing for all of those who are sick or suffering in some way. Are there other joys or concerns today that we need to name? Mike. Prayers for all of the youth attending Midwinter Retreat, especially one of our own and a chaperone who has gone with her. Next weekend, there will be a women's retreat in Laramie, and Carmen Goodman is going to that. If there are other women in the church who want to attend, you can talk with Carmen, and there are flyers out on the table by the quilt raffle. So prayers of rejoicing that our region offers these opportunities, and prayers of God's blessing on all the youth this weekend. Madison. Prayers for Madison and for others who are looking for good, meaningful work. Steve.
Prayers for Cindy and Melinda as they're traveling to Portland to pick up wedding dresses for Kira.
What a joyous weekend, week for the Huckfelt women to all be together in Oregon wedding dress shopping. Prayers of safe travels for Cindy and Melinda. Prayers for Tom with the flu. Let us bring all of these to the Lord as we share a time of silence together. Holy Almighty God, your love is beyond our imagining. Lord, we are humbled that you care for us so deeply. Oh God, we know that it is not because we try to live good lives that you love us. It is because of who you are, beyond our imagining. You are the one who has created us in your own image and calls us to be your children, adopting us into a holy family through Jesus Christ. Lord, we pray for your children around the world, especially those who are in need. O God, whose power is beyond being able to be fully known, we call on you in the name of Christ to ask for healing. We pray for Debbie Mestis as she recovers from knee surgery, asking that her time at Elkhorn will go well, her body will be strengthened, and she will have the patience to wait out the journey of recovery. We pray for Alan McKenzie. Oh God, we ask you to make his heart strong. Be with his wife Sally and his friends who are giving support. Bring him your healing. Lord, we pray for a different kind of healing of the heart for the Morrison family. We thank you for Joyce's full life on this earth for 93 years lived faithfully as mother and friend. We thank you for the work that she did for many years in Alaska, for the difference she made in her community. We pray, O God, that your peace would be with Joyce's son, George, with her daughter, Kathy. Lord, we ask you to watch over Winnie in a time of transition, and we give thanks for her long, full life, and we pray for her daughter, Linda, and family who are giving support. Oh God, the ways in which you work are truly amazing. We pray for your presence on every corner of this globe. We ask your blessing upon work done through the week of compassion, to respond when there are natural disasters, to help refugees in crisis, to make a difference in the world in Jesus' name. We pray for Daniel Lee and the work being done in Korea and for missionaries around the world. We ask your blessing upon Wayne Whitner and the members of First Christian in Monta Vista, Colorado. And we pray, O God, for the youth who gather from across our region this weekend as they are in worship at this very moment at Camp Lafayette in Southern Colorado. We pray, O God, for your spirit to stir among these youth, and that when they return home, they will bring with them the fervor and passion they have shared in committed Christian community in this weekend's retreat. We ask your blessing upon the women who will gather next weekend in Laramie. And Lord, we pray for those who are still in need of healing. Be with Tom Dowler as he recovers from the flu. Be with Robin Nelson and others who have been ill. We ask for safe travels. For Cindy Heckfelt and her daughter Melinda, for joy in this week while they are with Karen making preparations for a joyous occasion. And God, we ask you to watch over Madison during her life's journey as she continues to put out numerous applications for jobs, to seek work for which she is suited. Lord, open her eyes to see possibilities in the future that perhaps right now she cannot yet imagine. We pray for all of those who are unemployed or underemployed, that meaningful work will be possible soon. Oh God, your love is even beyond our naming. But in the name of Jesus Christ, we claim it as our own. Bless our prayers and bless our lives to be an answer to prayer. Amen.
Put your hope in the Lord now and forevermore. In communion, we proclaim the death of our Lord. In proclaiming his death, we are also proclaiming his resurrection. But often we forget that in proclaiming the resurrection of our Lord, we are proclaiming hope in our own resurrection, just as he promised. At this time of communion, we claim the promises of a Christian, including eternal life. And there's only one possible source for this, our Lord God Almighty. And in these proclamations, it isn't just resurrection and life eternal, but we also proclaim all the blessings that his fatherly care can provide in this world. The belief in these things is foundational in our hope. Each day, where do we put our confidence? Each day, how do we know that everything is going to be okay? These questions seem to rise up loudly and louder when we put our hope in the things of this world. This world cannot guarantee how things will turn out at all. So we as Christians must stop hoping in the things of this world and remember to put our hope in Jesus Christ. Communion is to remind us that Christ died for our sins, and with that comes hope. Let us set our minds on things above, calm our souls, and remember this great sacrifice. Here at First Christian Church, we invite all followers of Jesus to share in the Lord's table. As the trays are passed to you, we invite you to take the bread and to eat it, to take the cup and to drink it. Return the cup to the tray and pass the tray to your neighbor. We will now sing our hymn of communion, number 665 in the hymnal, verses 1, 2, and 4.
As we come to this table, we meet Jesus here. He is with us again as we remember that night when he met with his friends in the upper room and took bread and blessed it and broke it, gave it to them and to us, saying, "This is my body given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." And just as when Christ walked the earth and gave water to those who thirsted, he calls us in turn to share his compassion, to give food to the hungry and water to the thirsty. We answer that call when we come to the table and drink of the cup, which Jesus gave to us, saying, "This is the new covenant in my blood, poured out for you, to forgive your sin and the sins of many." Each time we eat this bread and drink this cup, we proclaim the Lord's life, death, and resurrection. And we grasp our own resurrection as we come to this table. These are the gifts of God for the people of God. Let us pray.
Almighty God, for your abiding presence and gift of daily bread, we give thanks. In the breaking of the spiritual bread in communion with you, we would remember Jesus and his redeeming love. Be present, O God, in our worship and time of rededication, so that we may be strengthened and encouraged to live as you would have us to live in the days ahead. Amen.
On September 20th, 2017, my sister Milagros and I hid in the back room of our home, the only part made of concrete, as Hurricane Maria tore our house apart. When we finally came out, there was nothing left in place but my sewing machine. I have lived in this house for over 40 years. This is my home, my community. I am praying for the means to rebuild. I am Maria Trinidad, and to have my home back, it is almost more than I can ask or imagine.
God has blessed our lives, or blessed us with lives, that bear much fruit. Let us share the blessings we have received from God with those in need as we collect today's offering. The diaconate will now wait upon us. Please pray with me. Source of every blessing, you have planted us beside living waters and nourished our souls with your ways of life. In gratitude and thanks for the fruit we have borne in due season, we return these gifts to you. Bless them with your grace and multiply them in your mercy. May they go forth to bring a light of hope into our world. In the name of the one who leads us into life, we pray. Amen. Our scripture begins today with an Old Testament reading of Psalm 46. We'll be doing this as a responsive reading. You can find it on page 742 in your hymnal. Arlen will play the response for us. We'll sing it every time that we see the bold capital letter R. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Though its waters roar and foam, though the mountains tremble with its tumult.
There is a river whose streams make glad the city above, the holy habitation of the Most High.
God is in the midst of the city, it shall not be moved. God will help it when the morning dawns.
The nations rage, the dominions totter. God speaks, the earth melts.
The Lord of hosts is with us.
A
mighty fortress is our God, a bulwark never failing.
Come, behold the works of the Lord, who has brought desolations on the earth.
Who makes war cease to the end of the earth, who breaks the bow, shatters the spear, and burns the shields of fire.
Be still and know that I am God. I am exalted among the nations. I am exalted in the earth.
The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Israel is our refuge.
A mighty fortress is our God. A bulwark never failing.
Our second reading of Scripture today comes from the New Testament, book of Ephesians, the third chapter, verses 14 to 21. If you want to follow along in your pew Bible, you'll find it on page 193. Ephesians chapter 3. For this reason, I bow my knees before the Father, from whom every family in heaven and on earth takes its name. I pray that according to the riches of his glory, he may grant that you may be strengthened in your inner being with power through his Spirit, and that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith as you are being rooted and grounded in love. I pray that you may have the power to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth and length and height and depth, and to know the love of Christ that surpasses knowledge, so that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. Now to the one who by the power at work within us is able to accomplish abundantly far more than all we can ask or imagine, to God be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus to all generations, forever and ever. Amen. Thank you, choir, for that gift of music today, a beautiful song praising God. Would you pray with me? Lord Jesus, we long for you to dwell in our hearts. The height and depth and breadth of your love, Holy One, is beyond our imagining. Come and remodel our lives to make room for your compassion beyond measure. Bless now the words of my mouth and the meditations of each of our hearts to be acceptable in your sight, O Holy One, our rock and our Redeemer. Amen. The past few Sundays, we have visited together a section of 1 Corinthians. Paul wrote the letter to the church in Corinth in response to very specific situations. Ephesians is a little bit different. There is a prescript at the beginning of the letter that says it's addressed to the church at Ephesus, though scholars speculate that may have been added at a later date. The indication seems to be that the letter of Ephesians was circulated among different congregations in the early church before it settled in its home in Ephesus. That means that the letter to the Ephesians was written to Christians like us, too, and so it circulates here for us to read and reflect on. The verses we've heard from chapter 3 were chosen for this year's theme for the Week of Compassion, Offering. Particularly verse 20 and 21. We're invited today to reflect on how God, by power at work within us, is able to accomplish abundantly far more than all we can ask or imagine. God is bigger than we can imagine. God, in fact, does impossible things. With God, the impossible becomes possible. History is full of impossible things. Since we have just celebrated Valentine's Day, let me tell you a love story. Dante, who lived from 1265 to 1321, is famous for writing the Divine Comedy, which shaped popular imagery of heaven and hell. He describes how he began to write the epic poem while he was walking along in the afternoon of his life and fell into a deep hole. It's a great description of a midlife crisis, going along with your life when suddenly you fall into a hole. These crises are usually about our unfinished business or unlived life. For Dante, it was his incomplete relationship with Beatrice, whom he had met when he was only 9 years old. Years later, as an adult, Dante was standing near the Ponte Vecchio, a bridge that crosses the Arno River in Florence, when he saw Beatrice as an adult and fell deeply in love. Dante did not speak to her that day. I wonder if he was afraid, feeling unworthy of love, or perhaps just nervous and not looking his best. In fact, we're told that he saw her very little, and then sadly, Beatrice suddenly died of the plague. Dante was stricken with blindness, the loss of his vision. It was as if she was an intermediary between his soul and heaven itself. Dante went on to marry, and he and his wife raised 3 children. Then suddenly, at the midpoint of his life, he fell into a deep depression, and here his work began. In the Divine Comedy, Dante is led down through 9 levels of hell by the poet Virgil, a symbol of reason and intellect. Dante discovers, surprisingly, that the lowest level of hell isn't fire, it is a frozen Arctic wasteland. There, he leaves Virgil behind and is led out of hell by none other than his beloved Beatrice. Symbolically, for the poet, he can't think his way out of the worst existence he's imagined. It is love that leads him out of hell. Theologically speaking, that is also true, for it is God's love revealed in Christ that saves us from being lost eternally. And it is God's love that leads us out of despair in this life as well. About 650 years after Dante walked the streets of Florence during World War II, the Allied army was chasing the German army up the Italian boot. The Germans were blowing up everything to thwart the progression of the American army, including all of the bridges across the Arno River. But no one wanted to blow up the Ponte Vecchio. It had originally been built in 966 and remodeled after flooding. It was a unique, beautiful, historic construction. And it was where Beatrice had stood, Dante had seen love, and had written about her. The story is told that the German army made radio contact with the Americans, and in plain language that they could both understand, said they would leave the Ponte Vecchio intact if the Americans would promise not to use it. The Germans destroyed medieval houses on the ends of the bridge and left piles of rubble to block the passage, but the bridge itself was not blown up by either side. The promise held. Not one American soldier or piece of equipment went across the Ponte Vecchio, even though it was the only bridge left standing in Florence and for many miles up and down the river. It's crazy, isn't it? Completely illogical that warriors would choose on the side of love to leave a bridge intact. But perhaps life isn't always a rational story. Perhaps at its core, at its heart, life itself is a love story. Today, if you visit the Ponte Vecchio, you'll find hundreds of padlocks attached to the bridge. Lovers meet there, attach a lock, and then toss the key into the Arno River as a sign of their love. What are you willing to toss away to show that you love God? What are you willing to toss away to show that you love God? Let me tell you another story. There was a man who had a good paying job, but he felt like his soul was being crushed. He'd always wanted to own his own business. He loved spending time outdoors. When an opportunity came to radically change his life, he talked with his wife about it. They prayed a lot. She wasn't sure it sounded like her dream, but she knew it was his dream. She talked with their pastor. 5 years ago, a realtor in their church helped them consider this major life step. He ended up leaving his job with Apple, and he and his wife went into business together. It truly seemed impossible at the time, but this was a dream come true for Brian. Meet Brian and Jenny Black, the owners of Sloan's General Store. Sometimes our imagination is much more limited than God's dreams for us. Is there some fear in your life holding you back from imagining that you can do more? Does God have something radically different imagined for your future, even in midlife? God still does things beyond our imagining. God's imagination works through human imagination, creating new ways in the world. God, who created the universe out of nothing, who spoke life itself into existence, God, who is more than we can imagine, is still imagining a different world. 3 years ago, this congregation imagined a new ministry, a blanket ministry. It grew out of a simple activity. Debbie Mestis had met some homeless people in our sandwich ministry who were cold. So she planned a one-afternoon event. It was just to be a one-time experiment where members of the church got together and tied blankets to give fleece blankets to those who were cold. The people tying the blankets had so much fun, and the need in the community was greater than they'd imagined, and so they continued to meet, month after month for 3 years. This past week, the 1,000th blanket was presented to Sally Schumer, who has been a strong advocate and support of the blanket ministry. When the first fleece blanket was tied, we never imagined that we would tie 1,000. And yet here we are. God's imagination is so much greater than our own. A month ago, our Christian Women's Fellowship gathered. CWF has been in existence here for many decades, but like other aspects of church life, they have changed and evolved. And to be honest, the numbers are smaller than they used to be. We have one Christian Women's Fellowship circle that meets at a restaurant once a month, and there are 6 ladies who faithfully gather together. They have a devotion, they share a meal and fellowship, they pray together, and they have an offering. Those 6 ladies look at one another with love and deep friendship, and they say to each other, "Isn't it great? There are 6 of us who get together every month." On the other hand, there's another women's group that at the time I started here almost 10 years ago, this other group had 20 to 25 women regularly participating. They meet once a month for a potluck luncheon in Fellowship Hall. Well, at a meeting not too long ago, they looked around the table and there were 6 women. A member of that group said, "There are only 6 of us. Maybe we should just disband. What can we possibly do?" 6 women sitting around a table praying and sharing an offering might be influenced by God's imagination. A month ago, Christian Women's Fellowship met to discuss changing their initials from CWF to DWM, meaning Disciple Women's Ministries. Our denomination several years ago began using DWM as the new initials, as a way of imagining new ways of being. The idea is that all women in the church, whether they participate in a CWF group or not, belong to Disciple Women's Ministries. So these women gathered in January, looked around at each other, and said, "We have to imagine a new way of doing things. What if instead of having a monthly board meeting where we just talk about business as usual, we do something new and different?" For many years, CWF here in our congregation has hosted a friendship brunch, Love and Friendship, they called it, every February around Valentine's Day. It was held on a Saturday morning. People would pay for a ticket, have a meal together, and then go home. The ladies said, "What if instead of a catered brunch where people pay their own way, what if we made a gift of a meal that we prepared for young women in the congregation?" They specifically wanted to reach out to young couples, providing free child care so a romantic dinner could be had around Valentine's Day. And then someone at that meeting said, "Well, you know, romance doesn't die when you turn 30. Let's invite everybody in the church, whether you have a sweetheart or not." And so Friday night, downstairs in Fellowship Hall, there was a beautiful spaghetti dinner offered as a Valentine gift to the congregation from CWF, DWM, whatever they're going to call themselves, the women of the church. The grandmas pictured on the screen were the core group that got it going. Lonnie spearheaded the effort and planned the menu. Others gave input and worked alongside her, and a delightful evening was had. I look forward to the imagination of DWM continuing to evolve as they listen for God's call in new ways. In the Greek, the word nonai means to know. We are called in Ephesians 3:19 to know Christ, who is beyond our knowing, our gnoseos, or knowledge. How do you know what is beyond knowing? How do you imagine what God wants of you when God's imagination is so much greater than humanity can fathom? there are different ways of knowing. We know what we can see with empirical evidence. We can add up 2 plus 2 equals 4, and we know that 4 is more than 2. We can prove it. There are scientific facts that we know. But there's more to knowing than just information. Have you ever known something in your gut? You've just had this feeling and you know it's true. Has your body ever tried to tell your mind something that you weren't paying attention to? Maybe you were working through the lunch hour and just kept going and didn't notice you were hungry until your stomach growled and your brain said, "Oh, I missed lunch." More than that, our bodies sometimes know when we're stressed, when we've lived out of whack, out of balance, when we're not taking care of ourselves emotionally or mentally or spiritually. Sometimes physically, we know that something is wrong. There's a pain in your neck, physically, literally, because you haven't been paying attention to other things that might be a pain in the neck of your soul. How do we know? When we look at the world around us, if we only look with our physical eyes, we may be led into despair. We hear time and time again news accounts of violence, of another shooting, another tragedy, another hurricane blowing houses down. We feel overwhelmed. We think we're so small we can't make a difference. And yet God imagines that we should have hope instead of despair. God imagines a world in which there is enough to feed every child on the planet. This congregation hears that call of Jesus to feed the hungry in our sandwich ministry every Saturday. But what if God is imagining something even bigger for us? What if God's call is not just to feed the hungry, but to address systems of injustice that cause hunger in the first place? God's imagining is far beyond our own. We know through Christ what we cannot see. We know the height and depth and breadth of God's love when Christ dwells in us. The week of compassion embodies countless ways in which God continues to do more than we can know or imagine. Even today, God makes the impossible possible.
All across creation, Bangladesh to the Philippines, Haiti to Uganda to Thailand, the challenges are more than you can imagine. Drought, famine, war, and rumors of war. It can feel as if we're too small to make a difference. But here's what the Apostle Paul says. As small as you are filled with the fullness of God. God's power is at work within you. And through you, God is able to accomplish abundantly more than you can ask, more than you can even imagine. Through you, God delivers rice in Bangladesh and builds new homes. Through you, God makes music in the Philippines and plants new trees. Through you, God helps a woman in Uganda buy chickens for her family, strengthens schools in Haiti, and makes tomatoes grow in Gaza. It can feel like we're too small, like everything is impossible. But our God delights in impossibilities. And with God, all things are possible.
Can you imagine it? You are not too small to make a difference. You are not too young or too old to leave the world a better place. You, who may feel insignificant or even lost in a hole in the afternoon of your life, you are invited to partner with God and have Christ dwell in your heart and do more than we can ever imagine. Amen and amen. Our hymn of dedication today is They'll Know We Are Christians. You'll find it on page 494 in your hymnal. If there's anyone here this morning who is looking for a church home, we invite you to join us at First Christian by confession of faith and baptism or transfer of membership. You're invited to come forward as we stand and sing. When we live our lives filled with the love of Christ, when we share God's compassion with others, it shows. People will know we are Christians. And when we tell them, they won't be surprised because they will have seen that Christ is dwelling in our hearts. But my friends, a word of warning. If you really invite Jesus into your life and you mean it, you really extend to Christ the invitation we heard of in Ephesians to ask Christ to come and dwell in your heart. The warning is he might do some remodeling. He might knock down a wall and make your heart bigger than it was before. So be ready because God's imagination is coming. There's a time of coffee fellowship waiting for us downstairs. There are refreshments. We hope that you'll stay and visit with one another for a time before going on with your day. If all hearts and minds are clear, let us pray. Lord Christ, make us bold to invite you to dwell in our hearts and to truly mean it. Amen.